This is Winning with ADHD, a podcast for parents to empower students. Build up your ADHD teens so that they recognize their own talents, creativity, and uniqueness. Get tips and tricks to help overcome executive functioning challenges. Listen to stories and experiences of what worked and what did not. Together, let's find ways to build your child's self-esteem and start winning with ADHD. And now, here's your host, Heather Walker.
Hey, parents. This is Heather Walker, and welcome to the Winning with ADHD podcast. I'm so excited to talk with you this month about surviving versus thriving, or meltdown versus momentum. I think a lot of times we have these kind of roller coaster type events, and the roller coaster might be moving really fast and up and down really quick, or it might be more spaced out, kind of more like hilly, and that you've got a longer time frame in between melting down versus thriving. Either way, it's really good for us to know and understand which phase we are in, or what part of the roller coaster ride we are in, for us to be able to show up in the right way and show up in the right way for both our ADHD kids, but also for us as parents, so that we can help facilitate the best environment and create the best relationship possible. When we are in a phase of meltdown, specifically our ADHD kids, what we will likely see is that they are unable to do some things that they have been able to do. They might be able to not be able to complete their homework, or you might notice that they are far more emotionally triggered about the slightest things. You might see that some things that they were able to do a few days ago or a few months ago is a really hard ask. And when you're in a space of thriving or momentum, you might notice the exact opposite, that they might be able to do more than what they have in the past, or that they're able to pick up a lot of things, or you see a lot more positivity, and that they're willing to listen and improve upon what they've been doing in the past. So when we're in a place of meltdown, some of the key things that are important to remember is that we want to make sure that we go back to the basics. When your kid is in a place of meltdown, they are not able to take on new things or grow or learn more. They're in a place of really just trying to survive. And when we're in that place, we need to focus really hard on what do we absolutely need to do, and focus on making sure that we're following our North Star routine. If you've listened to some previous episodes of the podcast, we talk about the North Star routine. Now, this can vary between different families, but for our family, what we noticed was having a consistent routine at bedtime and a consistent time in which we went to bed and were asleep created the most success for us, because when we had enough sleep, we were able to handle things more. Now, there are other kids that that's not as important. And maybe, you know, the morning time routine is really where you need to focus, or the afternoon routine. Regardless of what that is for you, identifying that and focusing on that will be paramount during the time of meltdown. The next thing is that we need to provide emotional support. And we're going to provide emotional support no matter what. But during the phase of meltdown, it is going to be one of saying that I understand this is really hard. I'm sorry you're having a rough day. And really just offering that support that acknowledges their feelings, and not necessarily in a place of trying to fix or solve, or, you know, create new skills or learn new things or try anything that is outside of just the bare bone necessities. Along with that, we're going to reevaluate our priorities. So our priorities are going to look different when we're in a place where we're thriving or we're in a place of momentum. When we are melting down, our priorities, again, are the bare minimum requirements, bare minimum priorities. So you could look at this and say, well, our bare minimum priority is that we go to bed on time, and maybe today we skip brushing our teeth. No, I don't like skipping brushing my teeth. I don't like my kids skipping brushing their teeth. But that might be something that we need to give in on a night where you have a child that is just emotionally distraught and unable to really get themselves together. It might be better to just let that go that night. Another example might be that, from a homework standpoint, maybe you email the teacher and say, "We're having a really difficult time. What can we do to accommodate this? I want to make sure that my child is still learning, but right now they're not really in a place where they're actually going to absorb that. Could we focus on getting the work done, but maybe we can get it in by the end of the week or at the beginning of next week when we have a little bit more time over the weekend?" Or if you have a 504 or an IEP, you could potentially utilize some of the benefits within those programs to be able to reduce the amount of work that is being done. Or maybe instead of doing homework in all five subjects that they have, maybe you say, "Well, we're only going to do math homework for right now." So there's some ways that we can reevaluate our priorities because we're in a place of momentum or thriving. They're all priorities and they're all important. I think we could all agree that learning our material at school is important. Brushing our teeth is important. Going to sleep and getting a good amount of sleep is important. But and doing our chores, being a responsible member of our household is important. But when we're in this place of meltdown, we need to reevaluate and say, "Well, you know what? Maybe we can switch chores today. Maybe your brother or sister can do the kitchen for their responsibility today, and you can pick up the kitchen in a couple of days when you're doing better." Or maybe we can find a different balance of chores that could help them be able to get through this space. Or maybe we just let go of it altogether. That can start to get a little controversial or a hot topic, especially if you have other kids within your family. They might see that as unfair or that, their sibling always gets out of doing anything, all of those types of things. So this is a space where I have had lots of arguments within my head, all, by myself, of arguing with myself about whether I should let go or whether I shouldn't. I shouldn't let them out of this. They need to be able to, do the laundry or clean the kitchen, etc. But really what I learned at the end is that when somebody is in this space, they're not going to learn anything by it, and it's actually probably more harmful than it is good. So, at that point, what I started to do is remind myself that when I have a hard day, I don't necessarily clean the kitchen or do the laundry. I maybe, fall asleep after having some tears of my own on my own pillow, where I forget to brush my teeth. And so having some empathy for them when they're in this rough spot can go a long way and really allow them to have an opportunity to pull themselves out of this meltdown. But if we keep pushing additional requirements or demands, you're pretty much going to delay it a little bit longer. Now, this phase of meltdown can last over different time frames. I talked about a roller coaster at the beginning, and sometimes you have roller coasters that go up and down really fast, and there's a lot of movement, and it's really quick. And you can have another one where you're more of like on a coaster, where you go up a little hill and down a little hill and up a little hill and down a little hill, and maybe they're even spaced out a little bit further. And so these meltdowns can happen, just for one afternoon, or they can happen for a couple of days, or maybe even a couple of weeks or a couple of months. And definitely starts to get really draining on everybody the longer the episode or the time frame is for this meltdown period. So let's talk a little bit about what, as a parent, you should consider thinking about when you're in this spot, or how to prevent yourself from being dragged down through a meltdown phase. I was reading some materials the other day because I was having a hard time and I was not handling the meltdown phase very well. And so it had been dragging out for a long period of time. And what happens for me when we're in that state is I tend to get drugged down and I tend to get into more of a depressive state at that point in time because of the situation. And that's a really hard place to be in that kind of space and to show up as your best self as a parent to help your child navigate a challenging time. So some of the things that we've talked about in the past, and if you Google or search, you can find some information on self-care. But so a few things to think about is being able to get away. And so taking some time, whether that mean that if you can find a babysitter, depending on the age of your child, or maybe you can switch off with a spouse and you can get out of the house for a little bit, or maybe they get out of the house for a little bit and you can stay at home, whatever your preference is. I think by following these pieces of advice will give you the most success. And when I say pieces of advice, is not just the self-care pieces and taking a chance and an opportunity to remove yourself from the situation or environment for a little bit, but really being able to focus on going back to the basics and reevaluating the priorities and focusing on, the North Star routine. The last one that I didn't talk about is just reminding them of the skills that they have to be able to handle these situations or what they've done previously and how they want to be able to get out of these situations. So again, this is not necessarily a coaching moment, but a reminding moment to say, hey, look, you've done this before. Remember when, whatever time it was, and how you handled that, and how we were able to get through this? And the answer might be sure, they remember it, but they might need a little bit more time to kind of work through it. I think one of the things that I have done that has prevented us from getting out of a meltdown phase faster is by trying to force it to happen faster and having a lack of patience. So I'll add on being patient as a part of the way that we handle the meltdown and knowing that it will pass. It might take longer than we want, but by being patient and being supportive, you'll get there. And then I'll just put in a plug in there for professional help. If you notice that you're in a space that's lasting for a week or more at time, probably more than a week at a time, and that it's happening frequently, you should probably consider seeking out a therapist for you or for your child so that you guys can work on developing skills. Clearly, this podcast is based off of everything that I've learned by going through therapy and speaking with psychologists and psychiatrists. But there's still tons more out there to learn from these professionals as well. So let's talk about the thriving space or a place of momentum. This is literally the exact opposite, where you're probably feeling positive and more hopeful, and things are getting done, and you're able to work on new things. So, in this space, you're working on the basics plus some. You are fine-tuning the basics, you're maybe adding on, maybe. I don't know. Let's talk. We talked about teeth earlier. So maybe, not only are we brushing our teeth, but maybe we're flossing once a week or something like that. So, kind of really taking an opportunity to build upon what's already going well. You're going to work on routine improvements. So, this might be that you're getting everything ready for bed at night, but maybe you're going to work on setting out your shoes for in the morning so that the morning goes just that much better. So really focusing on, adapting that evening routine to help make the morning routine go better. You're again still going to provide emotional support. It's going to look a little bit different. This is going to be like, man, you did such a great job. Look, you've got this, or you did this, or hey, great job here. And so you're going to be encouraging and showing up a little bit differently in this space. The next one is that you're going to strive for that all the those new heights or that all new high or the new wins, and focusing on the freedoms that you get by checking off these boxes in a sense. Now, not everything is about checking off all the boxes, because we could then also focus on our hobbies, our free time, and what we do with that. And, focusing on an all-time high or reaching new heights can be that you have free time. When we focused on this a few years ago, what I noticed the biggest reward was is what we got to do with our free time. And so encouraging them to take on new goals or new wins. And so new goals and wins can doesn't need to be school focused even, or chore focused, or routine focused. It can be hobby focused. It can be whatever the most recent obsession is, and focusing on that. And like, well, what could we do next? What could you accomplish next, in whatever hobby that is? And so by doing that, they're able to start to really see how following those routines and working through those things and getting their schoolwork done, and this positive momentum that they're having, is really creating an opportunity for them to do more of the fun things that they enjoy, rather than when they're in the place of meltdown, where they might do it when they're completely depleted and can't really enjoy it. So it's also important to note that these periods of meltdown or surviving versus thriving and momentum are natural cadences within life. We encounter hard times and we have to work through them, and we encounter good times, and then we have to see what we take during that time. During those times of momentum, we're gaining more skills, we're learning new things that can then help us in the time of meltdown, to hopefully help us, get out of it faster, or be able to acknowledge the skills that we've learned and how to cope with the challenges that we're encountering. So if we think about, a skill that we learn when we're in a place of momentum is how to handle overwhelm, and how to say, I'm overwhelmed by this, say, homework page. I'm going to fold it in half, and then that's going to help me because I don't see as many problems that I need to work through. And so reminding of those skills that we have and how they've won before in this place of meltdown is a great way to kind of bring it back around, because when we're in a place of momentum, we're building up those skills to help us be able to get to a place of momentum faster. And so bring us out of that meltdown phase and to be able to get back on track. And then finally, there's this like in-between space, right? We have a space where we're willing to learn, we're absorbing new things, and we're taking in on new things. And we have the space where we're really just focused on absolute necessities. But there is this in-between space where we're just doing what we're doing, and that's okay too. And so remembering that these, ups and downs and status quos are a part of life, and that is just okay also for our ADHD kid. A lot of parents that I talk to get kind of caught up in that they have to do so much to help them, that help their ADHD kids, that sometimes they're hypersensitive to these ups and downs and have a little bit more anxiety and worry about it. And so that's just a reminder to say that these are normal types of things. What might not be normal is maybe the degree of the fluctuation. So if you kind of think of like a flat line, and you think about an up and down, a gradual, kind of relaxed, up and down along that flat line being the normal range, our ADHD kids tend to feel things a lot more strongly. And so when they feel those things more strongly, you might see a much larger drop down into meltdown, and a much higher high. So those highs and lows will be more noticeable and have a lot larger space in between them than the normal flow of what that might look like. And so being able to recognize that as well will be really good for you as a parent to say, okay, great. She's excited or he's excited, and they are on top of the world, And there's so much emotion that is happening, and so many feelings, and so much energy, and that is just how they respond to those different feelings and things that are happening. And so take advantage of those highs and really go along with it, and then help them to mitigate those lows, because those can be really hard, especially with the drastic drop, between the two. Okay, so we're focusing this month on, surviving versus thriving, meltdown versus momentum, and what are the things that we need to focus on and work on during those different phases, and that they look a little bit different, even though there's some similarities to them, and what we're looking to do. The back to the basics versus basics plus. You've got North Star routine versus routine plus improvements. You've got emotional support, which is matched up with emotional support. It's just a little bit different focus or gear that we're looking at in that space. We've got reevaluating priorities versus striving for an all new high or reaching new heights and wins. And then we've got a reminder of skills and how they've won in the past to be able to cope with the difficulties that they're encountering right now versus striving for new goals or encouraging setting new goals and accomplishing them and seeing what they can do. So that's how they kind of compare. And both are great spaces to learn from when you look back and continue to help set your child up for success and ultimately looking for ways to win with ADHD. Have a great September, and we'll talk to you next month.
Winning with ADHD is brought to you by Disrupt ADHD. Head on to disruptadhd.com/learn more.